Me again, Ray, with another podcast episode. This time, all about gardens. Now, you might think, well, what's so interesting about a garden? There's a lot of things about gardens then and now, in the old days, especially in the 1940s. Let's take a garden in the 50s, because that's what I remember. I don't remember the 40s. I wasn't around. I'm not that old. OK, I'm leading you out of the back door now of an ordinary house, semi-detached, terraced house, ordinary sort of place. Not a huge garden, but let's say average-sized garden. Right, we step out of the back door. First of all, there's no patio area, OK? There's no paved patio area at all. There's a garden path from the back door, perhaps right the way down to the end of the garden. Immediately left, under the kitchen window, what can we see? There's a border, OK? A little herb garden. That's what they call that, a herb garden. Now there you would have chives, mint, parsley, all the herbs that you would use for cooking. That's why they're called, well, they're a herb garden, but also a kitchen garden. OK, so it was near the kitchen, basically, and it was kitchen-type stuff. Kitchen stuff. As I say, herbs and all that sort of thing. Let's walk a little bit further on. There might be a little bit of lawn. Not a lot, because this isn't a huge garden. If the house has kids, they might have up to four kids or even more, then that would be the sort of play area for the kids in the summer. So it's not so much a lawn as a patch of mud, really. Looking at it, it is a patch of mud, certainly in the middle. On the right, we've got borders. Now, what are you expecting there? What do you think we can see there? Loads of flowers, roses, tulips, wallflowers, all the lovely flowers. No, not at all. Not at all. For a start, just by the kitchen door, on the right-hand side, there's what was called, and still is, a cold frame. Basically, it's a wooden box stuck on the ground, no bottom in the box, so you can see the soil, with a glass lid. It would be what was any size you like. Normally quite big, perhaps 4 or 5 feet. The whole thing would be about a foot high at the front, perhaps 18 inches high at the back. Sloping roof, glass roof, a bit like a sort of framework, like a greenhouse. In fact, that's what it was. It was a mini greenhouse. And what you would do in there, you'd grow seeds and you'd bring them on, as they used to call it. They used to bring the seeds on. Then, when they're man enough, you'd put them out in the garden. You know, when the little plants were man enough, when they'd manned up, you'd put them out in the garden. So that was called a cold frame. So let's walk a bit further down the garden path, looking on the right. We've got a whole row here of runner beans. Lovely. All on, not on canes like they use today, but bean sticks. They're actually bits of tree. Well, not tree. I forget what type of wood they were. But they were bean sticks. And there's a whole row here. It must be, what, 6-8 feet long. All the red flowers absolutely looking beautiful. A little bit further on, what's this? Onions, would you believe? A load of onions coming up. Looking over to the left, behind the lawn, there's potatoes. Now, you do need quite a bit of land for potatoes. So there's potatoes, onions, and we've got the runner beans. And I can see a little bit further past the runner beans, there's, what are those purple leaves? Oh, that's beetroot. Look at that, a load of beetroot there. Now, there's no lettuce here. That's further back on the other side in the kitchen garden. I forgot to mention the lettuce I saw back there. So we've got here, yes, the beetroot. Then we come up to the carrots here. They're looking good, coming up nicely. And then there's a shed. Now, a lot of people had a shed. Not many people had a greenhouse. I mean, greenhouse was ideal, obviously, for cucumbers, tomatoes, plants like that that need a bit of warmth. But not many people had a greenhouse. They were expensive, of course, and they took up quite a bit of space. Not everyone had the space for a greenhouse. The garden we're in at the moment is just an ordinary sort of terrace, as I say, terrace, semi-detached, smallish house with a smallish garden. And I can see over the neighbour's wall there, their shed is homemade. Not everyone could afford to go and buy a shed. They weren't cheap. So you get a load of wood and roofing felt and make your own shed. You know, if you're a bit handy with a saw and a hammer and a screwdriver, off you go. Now, the shed was important because obviously that's where the garden tools were kept. But also other things like storing potatoes. Once you dig them up, you can't have them all in the kitchen, especially if you've grown a fair few. So things like potatoes you would store in the shed. Looking to the other side of the garden, we have some, now this is nice, gooseberry bushes. What are they? Red currants, black currants, and peas. Oh, lovely. I remember when, as a kid, sitting in amongst the rows of peas down the garden. We had quite a big garden. Sitting in the rows, between the rows of peas, shelling them, picking them, shelling them and eating them straight off the plants. You've never tasted anything like it. It's rather like when you go abroad and you eat an orange, you know, straight from the plant. They just taste so different, don't they? Like tomatoes. You grow your own tomatoes, pick it off the vine and eat it. You won't get anything like that in the local supermarket or local anywhere. Or possibly, I don't know, do greengrocers still buy local produce, you know, from homegrown people in their gardens? I remember a neighbour of mine years ago, he had a big greenhouse full of tomato plants and he used to sell them around the local greengrocer. He'd go around there and get quite a good price for them. And they were advertised as homegrown, locally homegrown. So I don't know whether that still happens. So yes, we've got peas, gooseberry, blackcurrant, redcurrant, and there's a small apple tree down there as well. It's not very big. It looks like that's new. So that probably hasn't, no, it's not ready to bear fruit yet. But when it does, that's going to be rather nice. And that's the end of the garden. So it's full up with, basically, with food. All right, not pretty flowers. There's no room for a barbecue. No barbecue area. No patio for socialising. Back in those days, when you said I'm going out into the garden, it was for two reasons. One of two reasons. Either to hang the washing out, and the line went from the house right the way down to a post at the end of the garden. None of this rotary stuff. Okay. And it normally followed the concrete garden path. So you could stand on the path all the way down and hang the washing out. So you either went out there to hang the washing out or bring it in, or to do the garden, to work on the garden, to tend your crops. You didn't go out there with a glass of beer or a glass of wine and sit there on a summer evening socialising, perhaps with the neighbours or family and friends. Gardens weren't for socialising. They were for growing food. Just looking round, there's a compost heap in the far corner. I forgot to mention that. Most people had a compost heap. You'd chuck all your potato peelings. Any scrapped stuff like that would go on the compost heap. And that, of course, would be used for the bean trench. I don't know, do you remember the bean trench? You dig out this big long trench, fill it full of compost, even bits of old carpet, because they absorb the water, they held water. So you'd line the bottom with carpet, compost, all your stuff like that, well-rotted compost, fill the trench in, then put your bean plants on top of that, and you get a fantastic crop of beans. You know, for months on end, they just keep coming and coming. Just looking over the fence into the neighbour's garden, they've got loads of salad stuff. OK, I can see radishes, miles, seems like miles of radish, lettuce, loads of lettuce there. What people would do, one neighbour, he'd grow all his salad stuff like that. The other chap would grow, I don't know, perhaps a load of fruit, and they'd sort of trade, a bit of bartering. You know, I'll give you two chickens for one goat. Well, not quite like that. But, you know, they trade stuff. Oh, I've got a load of potatoes here. What have you got? Oh, I'll have a basket full of that, whatever it is. So that would be quite a good way of doing it. But of course, back in those days, especially in the 40s during the war years, food was obviously in short supply. So what do you do with your garden? You turn it into a supply, a source of food. You grow whatever you could. You wouldn't waste it with a patio area and lighting fires and, you know, cooking bits of meat on it and drinking alcohol and talking nonsense deep into the night. Some people, whether they had kids or not, wouldn't have a lawn in the back. You know, why waste all that space with grass when you could grow more crops? A lot of kids back then played in the street. I know I did, all the kids in the street. You know, we were out in the road, kicking a football around, playing marbles or whatever. We did have a lawn at the back of the house, but I think we spent most of our time out in the street kicking around. So that's the back garden. Let's go and take a look at the front garden, right? If we walk back through the house, out of the front door, what have we got? You know what I'm going to say, don't you? The lawn is there. There's no concrete. There's no block paving all over the place. There's a lawn. On the left-hand side, there's a border. There's a garden path straight from the front door to the front gate. Oh, by the way, the front gate onto the pavement and the wall, the fence rather, is still there. Okay, it hasn't all been ripped up, concreted over to park a car on. That's what most people seem to do these days. So it's a proper front garden. On the left-hand side, there are a few flowers, which is nice. And you, as I say, you've got the lawn on the right. And on the far right, by the other fence, between the neighbour's garden and this one, there are some shrubs which look quite nice. They're easy to keep, of course. And in the middle of the lawn, there's a circle cut out with a smallish cherry tree, which is a lovely thing to have there in the middle. So that's the front garden. As I say, it's not all concreted over. The fencing all ripped down at the front so you could drive a car in and out. If you'd said to someone back in the 50s, would you concrete over your front lawn, you know, knock the wall down or the fence and park your car there, they'd say you're mad. They'd say, imagine a whole street where all the front gardens have gone and it's full of cars. It would look awful. Imagine having that right outside your lounge window. You look out and there's a car. We like to see the grass, the hedges, the flowers. How things have changed. Some front gardens are used as a caravan park. You get a huge caravan parked right outside your lounge window. I must admit, I don't think I'd like that. If I had a caravan, I don't know where I'd keep it. This is the trouble. Where do you keep things if you've got no off-road parking and it's a very narrow street? I mean, everyone's got a car these days. There are millions of cars just in one road. Well, not quite millions, but several hundred thousand. So what do? You have to dig up your front garden and put a load of concrete down. Of course, then people say, oh, all this flooding going on. Why is there flooding everywhere? Well, it's because you've concreted all over the place. Of course, with bigger gardens, people perhaps with a bit of money, you know, they've got quite a large garden, they would have perhaps a pond and an area for afternoon tea on the terrace, don't you know? You know, cucumber sandwiches. What? Why did old boys say it? Why do they say what? Never did understand that. I used to work with a chap, he'd say that. If you asked him something, he'd say, oh, his name was Colin. If you asked him something, he'd say, Colin, what about so-and-so? What? I don't know why people do that. But old boys would do that, wouldn't they? I remember a neighbour of mine, he was an ex-headmaster from some private boys' school. And he liked people to call him Sir. I didn't call him Sir. And we won't go into that, but I didn't call him Sir. But he was like that. If you said anything like, oh, it's a nice day. What? Jolly nice day. What? There we are. We're moving away from gardens now. But if you had a bigger garden and you had a bit of money, then you would perhaps have a croquet lawn, wouldn't you? Well, not a croquet lawn, but a nice piece of lawn where you could play croquet. Or if you had even more money and a bit of a bigger garden, you'd perhaps have a tennis court. But I mean, now we're getting into, you know, really moneyed people. I'm talking basically about your average man in the street. What is it, Joe Public or whatever they are? Why is he Joe Public? Anyway, your average geezer in the street where the gardens were, back gardens were producing food and front gardens were basically just to look nice. I think the front garden sort of said a little bit about the people that lived in the house. I think that was the idea back then. I don't know about now, but back then, if your front garden was weeds and sort of grass 2 feet long and just a dreadful mess, then you know, people would sort of look down on you, don't you know? Whereas if it was all posh, I must admit, when I go for a walk, I look at gardens. I look at all the gardens. Some are absolutely beautiful. They're so well kept. They look lovely. Others, well, they just look like a field. Having said that, there is this thing now about, because insects are in decline, people are saying, look, have a wild area in your garden. We've got a wild area. Wild? Absolutely furious. We've got a wild bit. We call it the graveyard. The graveyard, because that's where we've got pets buried over the years. There's, a couple of rabbits. I think there's two cats, guinea pigs. Although I think there's a couple of rats in there as well. All sorts of things buried there. But the graveyard is the wild part. We just let the grass grow. There's all sorts of weeds, there's dandelions, and we get a lot of insects there. And if you look around, we've also got some bits of old wood, like logs. There's fungi on the logs, there's beetles around. I've seen stag beetles. So it's nice to have that. But some people take it too far. They have the entire back garden, just as a field, a wild field, undergrowth, brambles and whatever, as well as the front garden. So you've got back and front, it's just a total mess. But of course, great for wildlife. One other thing I saw the other day in our graveyard was a frog, a little frog. We've got a pond with a couple of frogs living in there. But this one was in the graveyard. So that was nice to see. And we've got a lot of bees as well, because bees are now in decline, aren't they? So they need flowers. So, you know, you can make your garden wild, as I suppose. You can have a furious garden, which is great for the insects, but also, I suppose, nice to look at. You know, it doesn't have to be totally wild. If it's gone too mad and it's just undergrowth, you know, brambles up to almost the top of the kitchen window, then that's just going to look awful. So yes, gardens then and now, how things have changed. A modern garden these days is, well, they don't have grass, do they? It's either paving of some sort or astroturf, you know, plastic grass. Can you imagine if you'd gone back to those days and said, there's going to be this plastic grass, you rolled it out like carpet. You know, people would have said, well, what on earth do you want that for? What do you have to do, sweep it? Well, yes, you do. A lot of kids would have perhaps a swing in the back garden if it was big enough, but these days you've got a whole assault course, haven't you? Swings, slides, ropes, roundabouts, I don't know, all sorts of stuff for kids, which is okay, I suppose, if you've got a big enough garden. Back in the 50s, you couldn't pop up your local supermarket and get tomatoes from Spain, cucumbers from Kenya or whatever, lettuce from Cyprus. If it was out of season, that was it. You didn't have any. If it was in season, then you grew your own as much as you could anyway. Obviously, people did go shopping, but you know, why go and spend money like that when you've got a nice plot of land out the back? I do know that some people dug up the front lawn. Didn't have a front lawn, they'd have a load of potatoes out there. And why not? I suppose, I don't know, did they get pinched? Imagine at night, if someone coming along with a spade. Oh, look, I think I'll have a few pounds of spuds. I don't suppose that happened, I don't know. But there we are, gardens then and now. I have noticed, I don't know whether it's the lockdown, there are more birds. I'm hearing birds all the time, and I'm seeing a lot of different birds as well. We've now got great tits in the garden. We've had a pair of jays. Normally in the past, we've just had sort of pigeons, seagulls and starlings. That's about it. But we've got all sorts now, which is nice. I wonder whether that's anything to do with the fresher air, less pollution. I don't know. We shall see. Thanks for listening as always. Go and dig up your lawn, rip up your patio and get your spuds in. See you next time. Bye bye for now.